City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by the American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 398, rounding out almost to show 400. I'm Amy Matheny, and happy new year. Happy 2011, 21-1, 2011. How are you going to say it this year? I am flying solo today, but let me tell you, there are a lot of voices that are coming together for this show and some really exciting shows coming up this January. And on this first episode of the Queercast, I just want to take one final look back. We, of course, looked at the world through the lens of GLBT news and entertainment, and definitely Andrew Davis and I talked about some things that were significant to our community, whether it was the Matthew Shepard hate crimes bill being passed. Of course, when Andrew and I recorded Don't Ask, Don't Tell, repeal had not been signed into law, but since that last broadcast, it has indeed, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a part of history, with Obama smacking his hand down on the table saying, this is done. And very, very, very exciting day. I don't know about you, but I was in Tennessee, and my mom woke me up early and said, hey, come downstairs. They're about to sign the bill. And we sat there and watched it together. And it was just it was really meaningful to be sitting in my small town Tennessee home with my family watching the signing of that bill. Of course, my brother and my father and I watched it repeat throughout the day. And also, we talked a lot about how the blight of gay youth suicides seemed to pepper the landscape at the second half of 2010. And what came out of that was the fantastic It Gets Better campaign created by Dan Savage and his partner that many people lent their voices to, everyone from everyday gay and lesbian people to celebrities to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and powerful politicians. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about people who came out, Ricky Martin and his new book, where he finally came out of the closet. Ellen and Portia took their same last name, so now we have Portia DeGeneres, and Portia also had a book come out this year. And in entertainment, The Kids Are All Right seems to be just placed for some really great awards during this awards season coming up, the Golden Globes, the SAG Awards, and the upcoming Oscars in February. And as does television, bringing us more heartfelt and funny gay characters from Modern Family, who seems to get better and better and better with their stories and their acting, and the fantastic Glee, which has made Chris Colfer, a young gay actor and a young gay character, tug at the heartstrings of Americans and really win them over with his very poignant story and his representation of this character, because it's truly like this kid is breathing. You know, I have to say, sometimes I don't even listen to the musical numbers on Glee, but I fast forward to watch that kid's work. And Mike O'Malley, who plays his father, they have given us some great, great, great examples of our GLBT stories this year. But there were many other stories that were significant this year. And just because we are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or other queer, we were also impacted by the stories that impacted everyone. The year started off with the earthquake in Haiti and the devastation there. And even though celebrities came together, and that's a fantastic thing, that country continued for many, many, many months to feel the power and devastation of that earthquake. And that continues, that ripple effect continues with that country, and to keep them at the forefront of our minds in 2011. Also, we saw a rise of people so angry at this administration, this president, and the rise of the Tea Party, which I don't even know how you can define these Tea Party folks. Many of us, if we're gay liberals or gay Democrats or gay people of heart and feeling, have clumped them together as crazy wingnut right wing hecklers almost. Is that the true story? I think it's continuing to unfold, but one thing is to be seen is that they are not going away. They are starting to, as they did in the last election, to impact elections, not winning as many seats as they had hoped, but definitely probably having an enormous impact for the Republican Party in taking over the majority there in the last election. Also, speaking of a tea party, no tea was not poured into the great waters of our country, but the huge BP oil spill in the Gulf devastated so much wildlife, and we are going to feel the effects of that oil spill for many, many, many years to come. And it is once again something that in 2011 will encourage me, and I hope many of you, to consider the conservation of your country and what you can do to put your money, your efforts, your politics in line with people who will try to clean up that mess and also keep our environment safe for future generations. Stories of hope and excitement came from the 33 miners in Chile who were trapped for 70 days, and the nation, the world really, watched with bated breath to see what would happen with such a dramatic story. The excitement when we all found out that they were okay, and then the attempts and the plans and the resources and energies utilized and brought together to bring all of those miners up to land safely and up back to their families. And then Elena Kagan, Obama has been able to do some really fantastic things in this administration and in his presidency. And Elena Kagan adding another female voice and a diverse voice to our Supreme Court, truly a momentous decision made there. And, you know, continually, there are celebrities, some of them that are attached to us, I guess. Lindsay Lohan, of course, seen as at least bisexual, continued to have her difficulties with drugs and alcohol. And that story kind of rampaged, at least through the first half of the year, got quieter in the latter part of 2010. And also right at the beginning, because it hardly seems possible, but right at the beginning of the year, around Oscar time, Sandra Bullock seemed to have everything in the world going for her, and it all came crashing down, or at least her marriage came crashing down very publicly with her husband and his affair and their subsequent divorce. So Sandy Bullock has stayed lower on the radar screen the rest of the year, adopting a child. And once again, showing us what it is to be just a strong woman. So it's been a really, really full 2010. And as I said, many of these stories will continue and move forward for us in 2011. And we will yet see what is to come. What's to come in this show is that we have a lot of news already kicking it off because we skipped a week. So there's lots of news to tell you already that's been happening in the past week and a half. Richard Knight Jr. is going to give his best of GLBT movies in 2010. So if you want to watch any of those films before the big Golden Globes happens on January 16th, that's always a fun one since they drink and eat, and the celebrities sometimes say things when they drink that they don't say on the Oscars. And he's going to tell you what you should get in your DVR or what you should rent from Netflix or head to the movie theater and see before the whole film season begins. And then one of the sad things at the end of 2010 was the sudden death of Tina Marie. And 3 years ago, my intern, I had an intern when we were on Windy City Radio, Lennox McGee, a very bright young African-American man who, gay man, who worked with us, and he contacted me and said, hey, you know, I did that assignment where I interviewed Tina Marie a few years ago, and it never aired, and how about we air part of it in her memory? So we're going to be airing that never-before-heard Tina Marie interview. It's a big show, so stay with us.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
On December 22nd, President Obama signed the legislation that will launch the repeal of a 17-year-old law, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that prohibits openly gay people from serving in the military. This is done, he said, and the crowded auditorium of an Interior Department building in Washington, D.C. erupted with cheers and applause.
Equality Illinois is searching for a new public policy director after firing nationally known advocate Rick Garcia on December 16th in a move that sent shockwaves through the Chicago gay community. Garcia told Windy City Times that Equality Illinois did not give any reasons for the termination. Equality Illinois responded that the organization has to keep working towards full equality and not focus on destructive personalities.
The Chicago HIV/AIDS Agency Test Positive Aware Network has been awarded $75,000 from the Elton John AIDS Foundation. The money will fund the LIFE program, Learning Immune Function Enhancement, a health enhancement and wellness counseling program for people living with HIV.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has claimed that he does not know Bradley Manning, the gay army private who reportedly leaked classified material. Assange is currently under house arrest in England and fighting extradition to Sweden on sexual assault charges. Manning is currently being held in a military brig in Quantico, Virginia.
Speaking of Manning, the U.S. military has said that he is being treated humanely in prison. Manning is under maximum security regimen because officials see him as a risk to national security. Manning is allowed out of his cell for 1 hour a day for exercise outside or at an indoor gym.
Vice President Joe Biden has said that same-sex marriage is inevitable in the United States, adding that what happened with the military and an evolving mindset that culminated in the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is being reflected on the issue of marriage. President Obama recently said that he struggles with his feelings on marriage equality, but is 100% behind civil unions.
In Texas, a high school student has filed a lawsuit against her coach and school after the coach allegedly told the student's mother that the student is a lesbian. The student, SW, a sophomore at Kilgore High School, is suing her softball coach, and assistant athletic director for invasion of privacy. After the outing, the student was kicked off the team.
North Carolina Community College teacher Julie Ann Hopwood, 56, allegedly drove from Charlotte, North Carolina to Livonia, Michigan to kill her transgender brother's fiancé. Hopwood staked out the workplace of Amy Chesbro, who was the partner of Hopwood's brother. Police say that Hopwood shot Chesbro 5 times.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has returned a ring to Lieutenant Dan Choi. Choi gave the ring to Reid earlier this year, asking to have the item back once Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed.
In Florida, a jury sentenced neo-Nazi John DiTullio to life in prison after he was found guilty of first-degree murder and attempted murder. DiTullio broke into a mobile home 4 years ago and fatally stabbed Christopher King, who was 17, because he was gay. He also injured Patricia Wells because she befriended a black man.
In Utah, Grand County now has passed a resolution protecting LGBT residents from employment and housing discrimination. Some state legislators feel that this might lead to the Utah legislature passing such a measure, and State Senator Ben McAdams plans to introduce a bill.
The Tea Party hopes to challenge U.S. Senate Scott Brown, Republican from Massachusetts, in the next election since he has voted on several pro-Democratic measures, including the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. Brown was chosen last January to succeed the late Senator Ted Kennedy and is up for election in 2012. Brown is still very popular in his state, however, polling stronger than senior Massachusetts Senator John Kerry.
In West Virginia, gay coal miner Sam Hall is suing his employer, saying that some coworkers have harassed him because of his sexual orientation. Hall claims he has been subjected to slurs and lewd gestures by his supervisors and also says that his complaints have been ignored.
In Missouri, the same-sex partner of Corporal Dennis Engelhard, a trooper killed in a Christmas Day accident, has sued the state for survivor's benefits denied to him because the state does not legally recognize the couple's 15-year relationship. The partner, Kelly Glossop, was denied benefits despite being named beneficiary on other assets.
In Florida, Wilton Manors authorities said that the couple Stephen Dwayne Adams, age 52, and Kevin Mark Powell, age 47, were victims of a double homicide. Police discovered the crime scene after going to the men's home at the request of one of the victim's sisters after he did not show up at her home for Christmas. Authorities are investigating a motive for the crime.
In world news, in England, Rhys McDonald, 19, an openly gay member of the Youth Parliament, has been suspended after reportedly posting graphic photos of himself online. The images were allegedly discovered by the mother of a teenage boy who idolized McDonald.
In a major victory for gay rights advocates, the UN General Assembly has voted to restore a reference to sexual orientation-based slayings that had been removed from a resolution condemning unjustified killings. The U.S. submitted an amendment to put the reference back in, which the Assembly's Human Rights Committee recently removed at the behest of African and Arab countries.
In France, opposite-sex couples are opting for civil unions over marriage. France allows both opposite and same-sex couples to have PACs, the French acronym for civil unions, although gay and lesbian couples cannot marry. PACs became legal in 1999, and the next year, heterosexual couples made up 75% of those united through PACs. Last year, the figure increased to 95%. Civil partnerships, such as PACs, offer almost all the same rights as marriage, although no religious ceremonies are allowed.
In the UK, men who have been convicted for having sex with males over 16 years of age will have their criminal records expunged in 2011. In 2000, the age of consent for same-sex relations was lowered to 16, which is the same age for sex between members of the opposite sex.
In Spain, Partido Popular President Mariano Rajoy has softened his stance against marriage equality. Rajoy, who is campaigning to be the country's next prime minister, said in November that he thought that Spain's gay marriage law was unconstitutional. However, in a late December interview, said that he would listen to the public before deciding on the issue.
In South Africa, survivors of corrective rape, a practice where lesbians are raped under the guise of curing them, started a petition on change.org to ask the Minister of Justice to declare corrective rape a hate crime. It has since become the largest ever petition on change.org.
In entertainment news, Leanne Rimes joined the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles at the group's annual Christmas concert. For her final song, she sang The Rose with the chorus members as backup singers. She tearfully dedicated the song to gay youth who committed suicide last year.
In the upcoming film biography of FBI head J. Edgar Hoover, Leonardo DiCaprio will have a male love interest but will not take part in Hoover's alleged cross-dressing. Arnie Hammer of The Social Network will reportedly play the FBI official many believe was Hoover's lover. Dustin Lance Black, the openly gay screenwriter who won an Oscar for Milk, wrote the screenplay. Clint Eastwood directs.
The upcoming prequel to the Alien series will be in two parts, with the first film coming to theaters in late 2011. Reportedly, Noomi Rapace, who starred in the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series, will portray Elizabeth Shaw, the heroine of Paradise, the prequel's official title.
R&B singer Tina Marie has died at the age of 54. Marie was groundbreaking as one of the few white soul singers who had a huge devoted black following. Among her hits were Lover Girl and Fire and Desire. Marie, known for her collaborations with the late musician Rick James, was signed to Motown Records in 1976. Her cause of death was not immediately known.
Openly gay actor John Barrowman has won England's Strictly Come Dancing special, a version of the United States Dancing with the Stars. The star of Doctor Who and Torchwood won for his quick step. Barrowman, a Scot who grew up in Illinois, described the victory as a dream come true.
Sir Elton John and his partner David Furnish are the proud parents of a baby boy. The couple welcomed Zachary Jackson Levin Furnish John on Christmas Day. Furnish John was born via surrogate in California. In 2009, Furnish and John tried to adopt an HIV-positive Ukrainian boy, but that country's government denied them.
Male model Charlie DeVoe has died after more than a month in a coma from a surfing accident. DeVoe, who was 28, had appeared in campaigns for Dolce & Gabbana, Anne Klein, and Abercrombie & Fitch.
John Warhol, the brother of the late gay pop artist Andy Warhol, died on Christmas Eve of pneumonia at age 85. Warhol helped establish the Andy Warhol Museum in their hometown of Pittsburgh.
Academy Award-nominated actor Mickey Rourke will play gay rugby player Gareth Thomas in an upcoming film. Rourke, who is 58, is more than 20 years older than Thomas.
And out country singer Shelley Wright unveiled the LGBT facility known as the Youth Enrichment Services Lounge on The Nate Berkus Show. The episode also showed the openly gay Berkus talking with the mother of Seth Walsh, a 13-year-old who committed suicide after being bullied. The lounge, located inside the LGBT Community Center of New York, was renamed in Walsh's honor.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Mega Minutes. Minutes, because we're talking about 2010's top 10 LGBT movies. If 2005 was hailed as the year of the gay movie, thanks to high-profile releases like Brokeback Mountain and Capote, etc., which it was, by that definition, 2010, with The Kids Are All Right, Black Swan, I Am Love, Chloe, on and on and on, is easily the year of the lesbian movie. So, ladies, nearly 80 years after the release of the unapologetic lesbian classic, you can never say it right, Matching in Uniform, it seems Hollywood has finally taken notice. So, here without further ado, my list of top 10 best LGBT movies of the year, in preferential order. Number 10, Burlesque, the guilty pleasure of the year. Cher, Christina Aguilera, all those cabaret dance number motif ripoffs, etc. Gay, gay, gay. Number 9, The Mormon Proposition, an eye-opening and heartfelt exploration of the Mormon Church's long history of blocking gay rights. Number 8, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, a special effects blockbuster disguised as a wry romantic comedy with a great lesbian character. It's out on DVD, see it. Number 7, Stonewall Uprising, an important documentary look at the Stonewall Riots in June of 1969, the birth of gay liberation by those who were there on both sides. Number 6, Howl. James Franco shines in the cinematic biography of the poem Howl 1955 and its proudly gay author Allen Ginsberg, an artistic, adventurous, fictional feature debut from gay documentary collaborators Jeffrey Friedman and Rob Epstein that is sure to become an essential addition to the gay movie canon. Number 5, I Love You, Philip Morris. Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor star in this dark, deft comedy with its surprisingly sweet edge. The jaw-droppingly true story, is that a word, droppingly? True story of a gay con man supreme who will do anything to be with the object of his true love. Number 4, I Killed My Mother. This dramedy from the young queer French-Canadian auteur Xavier Dolan, writer-director-star, was one of the most consistently enjoyable and insightful movies I watched this year. The movie illuminates the gay teenager experience like nothing I've ever seen. And the combative yet loving relationship between the son and the mother is revelatory. Look for this one. Number 3, I Am Love. The amazing Tilda Swinton stars and produced in collaboration with Italian writer-director Luca Guadagnino, I can never say it correctly, this masterful melodrama of a wealthy Milanese family in crisis. Swinton plays the matriarch who is inspired when her college-aged daughter comes out after falling for a woman to embark on her own act of physical and emotional rediscovery with a very hot young chef. This Italian movie was not only one of the best LGBT films of the year, it was hands down my favorite movie, period. A masterpiece on all counts. Can you tell I like that one a lot? Number two, Black Swan. Writer-director Darren Aronofsky takes us into the mind of the seriously controlled, seriously disturbed aging ballerina Nina, played by Natalie Portman, who finally has her chance to shine if only she can loosen her perfectionist tendencies and come to grips with her obsession with the comely, free-spirited ballerina Lily, played by Mila Kunis, who is hot on her heels and seems to endlessly tease her sexually. A great, paranoid, hard-edged sexual thriller that is unrelenting and merciless toward its leading character and its audience. And drumroll, please! Number one, The Kids Are All Right. Out director Lisa Chelidenko spent years co-writing the script with Stuart Blumberg for her original story of two moms, Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, whose relationship is hitting a really rough patch just when their teenage children decide they want to meet their biological dad, a.k.a. the sperm donor, who's played by a free-spirited Mark Ruffalo. The script is a masterclass in screenwriting, allowing moments for even the most minor characters to shine through in the performances by Ruffalo, Moore, who is an honorary lesbian at this point, and especially Bening, are wonderfully complex, funny, and heartbreaking at once. A well-deserved triumph for Chelidenko and her cast. And there you have it. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega, Mega, Mega Minute.
Hi, this is Betty Buckley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Back here on the Windy City Queercast, and I said this earlier in the show, but 3 years ago when we were on the FM dial here in Chicago on WCKG, I had a young intern, Lennox McGee, who had so much ambition and would go out and get interviews, and often we were able to air most of them, many of them, and there was one that we did not ever air, which was his interview with Tina Marie. And the singer passed away last week, and we thought it only fitting to air this interview now. Lennox sat down with Tina as a new CD was coming out, and kind of you can definitely hear the youthful enthusiasm around her, and a sage woman who had been around the music scene, sharing part of her story with Lennox McGee. This is Tina Marie. From 2007.
And we're back. You're listening to Windy City Radio. I'm Lennox McGee. Now, today we have an amazing lady on the show. She's an undeniable force in contemporary pop and R&B. She's a singer, songwriter, and an accomplished producer. And she's captured the hearts and spirits of millions of fans around the world with her versatility and style. Please welcome Tina Marie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Lennox?
I'm doing very well.
Good, good.
Now, you've been away for more than 10 years now. What have you been up to?
No, I had an album out 2 years ago. I had a number one single with I'm Still in Love.
Oh, right, right. And so what's been going on since then? So you put out an album 2 years ago, and now you just released Sapphire, which
yes.
is awesome. It's your 13th album.
12th.
what's been your inspiration behind that album?
The title came from a Rick James song that I really love called Sapphire that's never been released.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song about black women's contributions historically in society. And I hope it comes out one day, but I would always tell him how much I loved it, and he would always look at me and say, well, you're my sapphire, too.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I've read somewhere that sapphire holds a special place in your heart. Why is that?
Because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to write myself out of my pain, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've been friends for 30 years, and it was just very, very difficult time.
Right.
I'm glad that the album didn't come out depressing.
No, it's actually very up-tempo. There's
yes,
some ballads in. So were you trying to get back into the up-tempo dance kind of thing?
I did the same kind of stuff on the last album.
Right. And it was awesome in the club. I remember hearing a lot in the clubs
yep.
in Chicago. So it's a big hit. And so on this album, Sapphire, you do a song with your 14-year-old daughter. What inspired that one?
Yes, that was for Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
All the proceeds are going to the Habitat of Humanities Foundation, which is Branford Marsalis and Wynton Marsalis, and you can buy that, get that on the internet, and all the proceeds for the song that my daughter and I did go to that.
So why did you decide to do a song for the Katrina victims?
Because my record company is in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and I was actually looking for property down there. I just was one of the last flights to get out. I left like on a late flight on Saturday, and of course the hurricane was Monday. It's like a second home to me.
Right.
So I have a great affinity for New Orleans and its people.
It's a beautiful place too. That
yes,
town is
I
awesome.
I just came back from there last weekend. I played two nights at the House of Blues.
So when are you coming to Chicago? I was looking on Ticketmaster. I didn't find any.
I think sometime later this summer, but I've already been there. Like when I was just there March 4th.
We missed you.
For the Black Women's Expo.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to go to that.
Yep.
How was that? Was that amazing?
It was fabulous. It was really, really wonderful.
So you formed your own record label in 94. What made you decide to sign with Cash Money and Universal Records recently?
Well, because they happened to get a copy of my album, La Doña, and they really liked it, and they told me they were going to start a classic label that was going to be separate and apart from the hip-hop rap label, and they asked me if I would come and head that label up.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a really great thing and very lucrative.
And so you've been doing, this is your 13th album, as we already talked about before.
Yeah, my 12th.
12th. This is not your 13th? Oh, your press release says 13.
Yeah.
So it's your 12th album that you've done, and you keep doing music throughout the years. What keeps you going? What's your motivation?
My life and the things that I see. I'm still very, very passionate about music and life, and I have a lot of young people around me, my daughter and all her friends, and I still really love singing. I love touring, and you know, this is what God put me here to do. It's what He intended.
And your voice is so soulful. Does that have some kind of gospel background in your roots?
Actually, no, other than I think it came from another life, but I was actually raised in the Catholic Church.
Really?
So I had operatic background.
Wow. And so have you ever
but
thought about...
I've loved black music since I was a baby.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about going into opera at all?
I was asked to go to Italy with a very famous opera coach when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
But I wanted to sing R&B and jazz.
Mm-hmm. So it's obviously your music stands the test of time, and it's gone through the 70s, the 80s, the millennium. How do you keep your music so fresh and so new that all ages and genres?
I think it's just the young people around me and the fact that I just have, like I said, that I'm very, very passionate still about everything that I see and everyone I meet.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of mark do you think your music has left on the world today?
I hope it's been peaceful. I think it has. I think it's brought a lot of love and joy into people's lives. I don't think people get fired up and want to go hurt somebody when they hear a Tina Marie song.
Definitely not, but it's good.
And I really, that's all I could ever ask for.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Everybody, I'm so excited to kick off 2011 with you in upcoming weeks. Guess who's going to be my guest in the next show? Call me now. It's Miss Cleo. That's right, love. Love and respect, my babies. Miss Cleo is here with her annual predictions of what 2011 is going to bring for all of us. And as you know, she has been right about so many things, including earthquakes, including what's going to happen with the economy. We'll be very interested to see, because we also have a royal nuptial and this coming year. And she often tells us who's going to get married, who's going to have babies, what's going on with the economy, how is the weather going to affect us. So Ms. Cleo on the next show, and let me tell you, she's scary good that what she can tell us about what is to come. And also, in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to be venturing out to see the new Dolly Parton musical, 9 to 5, with Steven Rader. It's been a while since Steven Rader's been on the show. He's been busy, busy, busy. And he's always so busy during November and December, doing an amazing job raising money for Season of Concern, the HIV/AIDS organization here, where theaters across Chicago help raise money for people living with HIV/AIDS in the Chicagoland area. And he was busting his batukas all during the holiday season. So great to be able to take Steven to the theater, because you know he loves him some Dolly. And we're going to hang out with hopefully some of the cast of that show as well. And also, we are heading into what I call the gay high holidays. And that would be, to me, the Golden Globes, the SAG Awards, and the Oscars. And besides the Tonys, which are also kind of a blip on the gay high holiday, it's like the Rosh Hashanah to the Yom Kippur of our high holidays. Golden Globes are coming up January 16th, the next day. Richard Knight Jr. and I will be recording a show really about what the Golden Globes told us about this year's Oscar race. And so Richard Knight Jr. with us this month as well. Everybody, I am getting so revved up and so excited about 2011. I'm so glad you're here with me, and let's make it a great year this year. Have a good week. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.